This is going to be a different kind of a message, in that I'm not going to flood you with a whole bunch of scripture tonight. I've got some, but not as much as I normally would. And I want you to just take this time and kind of allow what I'm going to say just kind of rattle around upstairs for a while and think about some of the things that we're going to talk about. My message is simply entitled Signs of Spiritual Maturity. Signs of Spiritual Maturity. And I'm going to give you 10 signs of spiritual maturity. And of course, there are more than 10, but these are the 10 that I picked out to focus on tonight. Now, as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, you know, the people that are going to hear this message are generally the more spiritual bunch of our group. I mean, you're here on a Wednesday night when the pastor is away, and you still want to be in church. You still want to be part of the body. I mean, that shows a level of maturity that is beyond many, right? So it's kind of like preaching to the choir in this respect. But what I want you to do is, as I go through these 10 signs of spiritual maturity, I want you to just kind of, in your mind, or if you're keeping notes, just make a little check mark on the ones that you see could use a little more work in your own life. Okay? And at the end, we'll turn in those papers and we'll, no. Now, this is just for you, but I do want you to consider each one of these points and think about where you are in your own spiritual growth and your own level of maturity in these areas. And then we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. Let's start with scripture by going to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12, a familiar passage. And it says, "Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may hold or lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Good stuff there. We could spend a lot of time just going over those scriptures. But I want us to, again, think about, as we press on towards the goal, where we are now, where we need to step it up a little bit. You know, for pastors, a majority of the people problems that they deal with is basically a result of spiritual immaturity. You know, we all start out as babes, right? We all start out as babes in Christ, and like babies everywhere, we're needy, we're messy, we're selfish, totally ignorant a lot. We cry if someone looks at us the wrong way. Sometimes if they don't look at us, we cry. There's a lot of spiritual immaturity that reflects the same characteristics that babies exhibit. But I thank God we don't remain babies. Amen? I mean, with good teaching, with proper guidance, we grow and we mature and we begin to exhibit the signs and life of Christ in our own lives. That's the goal. Now, how fast we grow and how deeply we mature is unique to each individual. And as I begin this, let me also mention, it is not wise for us to compare ourselves with ourselves, okay, or with your neighbor. Don't be thinking, oh yeah, they're really spiritual, I'm really not. Because I guarantee you don't know everything about their lives. You don't know everything. You don't know. You just don't know. So don't compare yourself with others. This is just for you to consider for yourself, all right? Sadly, many Christians that have grown beyond their spiritual infancy have never really matured to adulthood. We all know people who have been Christians for many, many years, decades, and you see some really childish behavior from them in a spiritual way. They never have matured to adulthood. They get kind of stuck in that spiritual adolescence, and I pray that happens to none of us here in this church, or I pray it happens to none in the body of Christ, but we do have to deal with it. And spiritual age is not a sign of spiritual maturity. Again, I've known people who have been Christians for decades, who have exhibited very immature attitudes and behaviors, and I've experienced Christians who have only been saved a short number of years, and they seem very mature. They're getting it. That's where we want to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night and for the opportunity that you've given me to bless the people with a word of encouragement, with a word to contemplate. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to see truth tonight, that your Holy Spirit would help us to be aware of our own need, to be aware of our own situation, that we not be blinded by our own, well, pride, but that we're able to truly examine on a gut level who we are, where we are, who you are, and where you want to take us. And I pray that as I preach this message, people are edified and that there's no condemnation, but it's all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I told you I was going to give you 10 signs of spiritual maturity. Number one, turning from sin. Now, I say number one, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the number one. It is the top thing, but boy, it's pretty close if it isn't, right? I'll let you decide what you think is the most important one. It might be specific to you as an individual, but the number one sign I have is they turn from sin. They've learned to discipline the flesh. How many of you like that part? Yeah. Man, that's one of the hardest things, trying to discipline the flesh, trying to do the right thing when it feels so good sometimes to do the thing that we know isn't quite right. But those who are mature, they've learned that even though sin offers pleasure for a season, that the end is bondage, the end of it is death, and they have begun to overcome in sinful areas. Turning from sin is a sign of maturity. Setting aside momentary pleasure for the greater goal is a sign of maturity. Now remember, you're thinking about yourself in this, right? How am I doing in this area? How am I doing in this area? Avoiding a moment of pleasure for the good of others is also a sign of spiritual maturity. And notice I didn't say they never sin. Spiritually mature people do sin, but when they do, there is true repentance. When they do, they recognize this is the wrong way to go, and they make a correction. They begin on a different path. They see themselves out of line with God, out of line with His Word, and what they want is to be closer to God and in line. So, turning from sin. Number two, they've set aside the past. By that I mean they don't long for the good old days. I mean, I get embarrassed for people, Christians, who when you get together, you know, and it's just a gathering of folks and they're sharing stories from their past and they begin to tell you how drunk they were and how stoned they were and how sinful they were, like it was something to be proud of. Now, personally, you won't hear me do that. Number one, I've never been drunk, I've never been stoned, but that's not it. I have sinned. I had those days in my past when I was not a believer, when I was an atheist, when I was just happy to do all the sinning I wanted to do and didn't think anything about it. But you won't hear me brag about it. You won't hear me looking at it like it was a good time. I mean, I get embarrassed about what I was. because I realize how, and let me add a little balance here. To the world, I was a great guy. I was. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't go out with those who did. You know, I never swore. I was that clean-cut, good guy, but I would be embarrassed to stand here and tell you the things that I did that the world might have considered okay. Well, I know they would, but I don't look back to those days with fond memories. I like my life now. And, I have good memories from the past, but when it involves those wild times, I don't like that. And I believe that those who are spiritually mature, they do not long for those so-called good old days of sin. They're wise in the relationships. By that, I mean with their relationships of the world. Right? They don't hold on to those relationships that were bad for them, that were bad influences on them. Many of the friends of my past, if I were still to keep them as close friends, that would be inappropriate these days. It just would not fit my new lifestyle. They would be uncomfortable with me, and I would be uncomfortable with them. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have friends from the past, but we're not close friends. We're not hanging out. We're not sitting around watching TV and eating popcorn. You know, it's just not that kind of a relationship. You have to be wise in your relationships. When I say that they also set aside the past, they set aside past hurts. Are you still hanging on to something from your past? Are you still holding a grudge with somebody? That's highly immature. And I know we've all had difficult times and we've all had people be unkind to us, but don't hang on to that. That's not helping you. That's not helping you progress in your Christian life. So we set aside past hurts, we set aside past addictions, we set aside our past fears, we set aside our past excuses. That one's hard for me sometimes. I like hanging on to a good excuse. I'll just be honest. I like having a good excuse for why things just aren't happening the way I think they should or how others think they should. But I've got to set that aside if I'm going to grow up, right? Because it's very easy to hang on to a good excuse. And when I say they set the past aside, I also mean they set aside what I would call the glory days. That is, the good days, even in the Lord, good days. You know, there are a lot of Christians who had a great time during some period in their Christian walk, and they just hold on to that, and they never move forward. There are some people who are still living in the wonderful days of Catherine Kuhlman. It's okay to remember that. It's okay to enjoy the things that took place back then, but this is a new day. And if you're going to hang back there, you're never going to progress in what God is doing and wanting to do in your life today. And what God is wanting for a more important point, what God is wanting to do for others in your life through you today. You know, we used to always do it like this. Well, that was then. Set aside the past. Let's move ahead to what God is doing today and how he wants to move today. Back to Philippians 3, I'll read again, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'll say the good and the bad, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Number 3, And we only have 7 more to go. Number 3, they are faithful to spiritual disciplines. This is pretty simple stuff. They read their Bible. I mean, again, who here, well, you don't have to raise your hands. I'm sure many here find discipline a difficult thing. Being disciplined about getting to your Bible on a regular basis, praying on a regular basis. Some people have a hard time getting to church on a regular basis. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. And you have to find ways to increase your discipline in these important areas. We all know the word is important. I mean, we all know it. There isn't one person here who will go, oh, well, it's not that important. But we all struggle. Well, I shouldn't say we all. I'll just speak for a majority of us. A majority of us struggle to get into the Word every day. I mean, a little quality time. Not that, you know, daily devotion that has a, you know, one scripture and you think about that all day. That's good. Do that. But you need to ingest more and more of God's Word. And the only way to do it is to be disciplined about it. So spiritually mature people are disciplined about Bible reading. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The milk of the word, I tell you, is not just for newborns. Amen? And there's some good meat in there, too. We want to actually mature beyond just the milk of the word into the meat of the word. All right. Prayer and church attendance, good. Number 4, they are givers. Spiritually mature people are givers. Now, there are some people who are actually gifted, I mean, in a supernatural, spiritual way to be givers, but every believer should have that mindset of being a giver, where we give freely without any expectation of payback, whether that be monetarily, whether it be with your time, with your talent. We do it without any expectation of payback. Those who think the church is out to con them out of their money, they have some maturing to do. I often, you know, when you start talking to folks about church, those who aren't really in church, that's one of the biggest objections I hear all the time. Oh, they're just after your money. I quit going to church because that pastor or priest, I've heard them talk about the priest, they're driving around in a brand new car and I'm driving around in my clunky old beater and they're always asking for more money. Well, they're obviously missing the point. They're obviously immature. Their mindset has not been renewed, because when you are mature, you are a giver. Those who hoard resources out of fear, they need to grow in their understanding and faith in God's provision. And it is a sense of maturity. I've known very few Christians who, when they first got saved, were just ready to be givers. Some naturally have that tendency in their lives. They're just generous people. But I'm talking to the mature spiritual level. There's a whole different giving, a whole different mindset that comes into play. And where it really comes into play is knowing that God is your source and your provider, and that he is more willing to bless you than you are to bless others, will help you to free up your finances, free up your time and your talent to help others, to be generous with other people. When you don't understand how gracious and giving God is and how faithful he is in his provision for you, it's easy to get fearful about your finances. It's easy to get fearful and want to hoard what you have and give it out just sparingly, just a little bit here and there, because I don't want to give it too much, because what if I don't have enough? Well, as you mature, you'll come to understand. You can't outgive God. God is more than faithful in his provision for you and wanting your family to succeed and be blessed as well. And so you can, you know, you can finally just give up. I remember many, many moons ago, Sarah is the one, you know, might be this way in your house or might not. Sarah is the one who really handles the tithe checks and all of that. She just kind of handles our finances. Yay, Sarah. It's one of those things I don't have to worry about. She keeps track of all of that. I just make sure that she gets my pay stub, and she does that. She pays the bills. She takes care of that. If we ever get into a difficult situation, then she'll come to me and we'll work it out together. I don't put the whole burden on her, but as long as things are going smooth, she takes care of it. Well, many, many moons ago, back when we were still in Missouri, there was a time when we didn't have enough money. You know, mortgage payment was coming up. Things were just happening, and it just, you know, I don't know if it was I laid off from work at that time. I don't remember. But we just didn't have enough money. And the thought always occurs to you, well, you know, we only have this much money. We better hang on to it. Sarah's thought was, we only have this much money. Let's give it. Let's give it away. Let's put it in the offering. Let's just, you know, we didn't have enough to pay what we needed to pay anyway. So let's just give it. And God blessed us, and it wasn't a problem. She can probably tell you the details. You know, it's been that long ago, huh? So don't hoard the resources. I mean, just learn to be more of a giver. Just, it's not hard to do if you really concentrate on how God gives to us. Number five. Oh, we're doing, I'll get you out of here early, don't worry. Number five. Spiritually mature people remain teachable. Oh, I can't tell you how important that is. They remain teachable. Even though they've already studied and they've amassed a wellspring of knowledge on their own, they have already shown themselves to be spiritually wise, they are still open to receive. Boy, and when you encounter someone who isn't, just know they got some growing to do. They have some growing to do. Spiritually mature people are open to receive. They're humble enough. That's part of being spiritually mature, is to have that level of humility where you can be open to new concepts, where you can be open to new suggestions, if you want to put it that way, from others, particularly those who have a vested interest in your spiritual growth. Rather than getting offended and getting hurt and getting all worked up about something that somebody is actually trying to do to help you, you are humble and you're willing to receive. And also just willing to consider other concepts, and you don't lose your mind over it. I remember several different instances where someone came along and had a new teaching, kind of an idea. It's like, you know, well, there was this one guy I can remember. His name was Wendell Jones. Anybody ever hear of Wendell Jones? Okay, Wendell Jones, I encountered him when I was working at a radio station, Christian station I manage, and he came in and he was doing some seminars in our town, and we had him come in on the radio. Anyway, Wendell Jones is supposedly, according to his publicity, the guy who the Indiana Jones character was crafted after. He was actually leading expeditions into the Holy Land, searching for the Ark of the Covenant. And he was quite a character. He was actually from Texas, not Indiana. And he was something else. But anyway, he came up with this concept, and well, actually, I'm not even going to share it with you because I don't want to get anybody confused. But it had something to do with that whole story about the sacrifice of Isaac. And, you know, and he explained it to me, and, you know, the Jewish people, they teach it this way and they show it that way, and it just was a whole different concept. And I thought about it. I was willing to sit there and consider it. And I spent some time in study over it, and I'd keep that in mind as I was reading my Bible, and I, you know, and eventually I just kind of set that aside. It just didn't match what I was seeing. But I was willing to consider it. I wasn't so proud of that. Oh, no, that's not right. That's exactly wrong. I mean, it had an interesting, plausible element to it. But, you know, if all you do is just continue to parrot back what you've heard somebody else tell you, and you've never really studied it out for yourself, and you've never really considered what you're reading on your own and how that applies to what you've known, well, you need to mature a little. Be humble enough to receive new concepts. Be humble enough to receive correction. How many? Well, I don't know how many. But, how many people have left a church because somebody offered a word of correction, somebody in a position that needed to offer a word of correction, and they just got stiff-necked and said, well, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm just leaving. Ought not be. Not that necessarily every word of correction has to be taken, exactly the way that it's given, but you need to be open to it. You need to be humble enough to consider it. And even as a pastor, there are always times for pastors when somebody comes up with a word of criticism. When somebody says, well, I don't think you should have said it that way, or I don't think you should do it this way, or, the Lord is telling me that this is what you need to be doing now, or we could come up with a million scenarios. But, half of them, more than half of them, you go, they're just kooky in their head. But there are some you need to pay attention to. In fact, you need to really listen to all of them and then judge them instead of just automatically dismissing them. I've gotten good words from people that I never would have expected to help me in certain ways. And Sarah's going, yeah, like me. I've gotten some good stuff from folks that I wouldn't have expected it, but I was willing to listen. And it's hard. I tell you, it's hard to be humble enough to accept that kind of criticism and correction and take it and at least consider it. But the spiritually mature will. Instead of getting all bent out of shape, and it hurts sometimes. It's like, oh, man, they really think that? But you have to consider it. They remain teachable. That means they actually pay attention to sermons. Sometimes people just come to church and they go through the motions and they hear the sermon and, 2 hours later, they can't remember what it was all about. Teachable people still pay attention. And they're looking, they're actually looking for a concept that's going to help them. They're looking for the word that is going to bring new life to their lives. So, number 6, moving along. They have an understanding of grace. Spiritually mature people have an understanding of grace. Now, have you been keeping track of all of these? Which ones you think you might need a little more work on? Hang on, Me, I don't necessarily keep notes that way. I'll just put a finger. Okay, I got one. I got two. Three. All right. They have an understanding of grace. They've grown beyond the works mentality, which I think is where almost everybody starts out. When you first become saved, that's your first thought is, I got to quit doing this, and I got to start doing that, and I got to. And eventually you kind of grow up. It's natural to start that way, I think, just because that's human nature. But eventually you have to abandon all attempts to be good enough to get to heaven, to be good enough to have a relationship with Jesus, to be good enough for him to love you. We have to get beyond that. Spiritually mature people, we still strive to live good lives, but we don't do it out of any deluded belief in the value of our own righteousness. I want to be a good guy. I want to do things the right way, the God way. But I don't have any delusion that if I do all of those things the right way, God's really going to love me then. Now, God loves me now. That's why I want to do the things the right way, not out of a works mentality. Spiritually mature people have failed, and they can admit it. Can you admit it when you're wrong? Can you admit it when you really bumbled it? Can you admit it when you were tempted and gave into it and got out of it? Spiritually mature people have failed, and they can admit it because they know their only hope of salvation is the blood of Jesus Christ, because they know it's not on them. And if you have a hard time admitting when you've failed, it might be because you think just too much of yourself and your own ability to save yourself. Along with embracing grace for themselves, spiritually mature people also extend grace and mercy to others. Boy, I tell you, this is a big, big sign of spiritual maturity. When you find people who are very keen to recognize and to point out and to gloat over somebody else's sin, you have found a spiritually immature person. Somebody with a critical spirit, I got to tell you, spiritually immature. Because it's grace that we extend now, right? They forgive. Spiritually mature people forgive. They withhold judgment. It's really easy to jump to judgments. It's really easy to get offended. But spiritually mature people, they understand grace and they cast off offense. You know, I'm one of those kind of people. I decided a long time ago, if you want to offend me, you really got to try. It's got to be overt. Sarah will tell you. Somebody might say something and she'll pick up on something and I'll go, nah, they didn't mean that. You know, I think they probably meant it this way. That wasn't thinking that way. Really, if you want to offend me, you just really have to come right out and do it. Don't try kind of a sneaky little approach. You know, watch this. I'm going to give him a little zinger and he'll get my point. Well, I probably won't. I probably won't get your point. You're just going to have to, come right out and say it, write it down, hand it to me and say, read this 3 times or whatever, because I'm just not going to get offended. It has done me no good in the past. Why would I start now? And if I got all excited about every least little thing that could be offensive, well, how would I feel if Jesus was that way with me? You know, I'm believing he's looking at me with always the best of intentions. He's looking at me with always an optimistic approach. And I want to be that way with other people. And I know I come across as a rather somber guy. Yeah. Start telling the truth, Jeff. I intimidate people, and I really don't mean to. You'd have to know me better. I'm not wanting at all to be intimidating. And if you really knew me, you would not be intimidated, because I don't look at you in a judgmental way. I don't look at you in any way that would be at all offending, because I just like to think the best of people. And I've just decided I'm going to think the best of people. Even if you think the worst of me, I'm going to think the best of you. Proverbs 19:11 says this: the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. Are you slow to anger? And his glory is to overlook a transgression. Can you overlook a transgression? See, that's all part of grace. You've received grace, now let's extend that grace to others. Spiritually mature people find that easier and easier to do. No, did I say spiritually immature? Spiritually mature people find that easier and easier to do. Spiritually immature people find it very difficult to overlook an offense. Very difficult to extend grace. Very difficult to overlook somebody who's been caught up in some sin or another. We want to hold that against them. We want to just keep that over their head. Well, that's not the way we need to be. Let's move on. Number 7. Spiritually mature people hold spiritual authority in high regard. Not like I haven't mentioned this before. Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." We hold spiritual authority in high regard. They take their own God-appointed authority as well, their spiritual authority, very seriously. And you might think, well, I'm not really in a position of spiritual authority. Well, you pretty much are somewhere in your life. If you're a family member, you have some level of spiritual authority in that family. Husband, wife, other aspects of family life. Even in your own life, you are the spiritual leader of you, number one. Amen? You need to take that spiritual authority seriously. And if you do have a position of authority that's been given to you in some other area outside of your own home, you need to take that seriously and hold the authorities who are still in authority over you, hold them in high regard. Be careful not to overstep the bounds of your spiritual authority. You know, coming up Sunday, yay, Kurt's going to bring us a message. Well, if Kurt saw this as an opportunity to really put forth some idea that, well, you know, Pastor Ben might never say this, so I better get this done now. Ooh, that would not be spiritually mature. Because he's going to honor. Now, don't be laughing back there. Yeah. Oh, back to the drawing board. He's going to be very respectful of Pastor Ben and what Pastor Ben is trying to do here. And how Pastor Ben would care for you, he's going to do his best to care for you the same way. Why? Because he recognizes spiritual authority. He's mature enough to know this isn't my time to take over or whatever. So hold spiritual authority in high regard. Number 8, spiritually mature people are servants. They don't use their position, and spiritually mature people usually get some level of position because of their knowledge and their maturity. They don't use that position to lord it over others. You know, well, they operate from the position and the perspective of a servant, as we all should. But you'll see that exemplified even greater and greater with those who are spiritually mature. Immature people want to be served. Immature people get upset if you don't serve them. If you don't cater to them in some way, they get all bent out of shape. The spiritually mature see themselves as servants, and they want to help. They want to serve in whatever capacity they can. They look for opportunities to serve, and they'll even serve outside their calling. Oh, my goodness. Outside their calling? Have you ever? Pastors always hear this. Well, I'd like to help there, but I don't feel I'm called to that. And I can understand that. There are areas I am not called to. You know, in my early Christian life, I was a Sunday school teacher for third graders. And I am not called to that ministry. Now, why? Is that so obvious? I am not called to that ministry. But I served in that ministry for a full year because they needed somebody to serve in that ministry, and I will admit, I did pretty good. Kids liked it, but you know, it was work for me. It wasn't that kind of, you know, feel where, oh, this is so easy. This is my calling. This is where I'm supposed to be. This God has placed me right in the center of His will. No, it was necessary. It was needful, and I was willing to do it. And Lord knows it was good for me too. You know, I got a blessing out of it, even though it wasn't my calling. Well, that's what I'm talking about when I say that they are servants, willing to serve outside of the calling if it needs to happen, because they're interested in the betterment and the welfare of others. They're servants. They're the kind of people that you can always count on. And they're sometimes the kind of people that are over counted on, because they're always willing. And those in spiritual authority have to be careful of that, that we don't overwork those servant-hearted people. But everybody should have a heart to serve. Amen? Amen. Servants are happiest when they can be a blessing to others. Number 9, they are stable. Spiritually mature people are stable people. These are the people that you can count on. These are the people that are true to their word. Lord knows we need more of those. The immature, well, you never know about them. I mean, one minute they're with you, the next minute they're gone. One minute they're volunteering for everything, and the next minute they're not showing up for anything. They're just not stable. The spiritually mature find their place and their purpose, and they follow it through to completion. They're not the kind of people who get a new calling every 6 months. Now, you know, we all go through the phases where we try to figure out where God wants to put us and what way He's going to use us. And, you know, I was willing to serve as a third grade Sunday school teacher, and I quickly learned that's not where God was wanting to put me, although He did use me there. And, you know, I encourage people, until you sense that calling on your life and where God wants you to be, try a lot of stuff. Nothing wrong with that, because there are oftentimes you get involved in something that you never thought would be that thing for you, and you learn, hey, man, I love this. So get out of your comfort zone once in a while. Do some things that you aren't normally thinking is your thing. Like, Sarah's got a little something coming up in a couple of weeks that you might be just the right person to help out. She can use some volunteers if you want to serve a little. Okay, it may not be your cup of tea most of the time, but you never know. This might be something that God can use to open your eyes to an opportunity. But look for opportunities. Spiritually mature people are not church hoppers. They are stable. They are stable. Doesn't mean you're going to be in the same church for all of your life, because God does use people and move people at times. But you know what? It's never a move out of anger. It's never a move out of just total discontentment. They're stable. Let's see. James 1:4. Here's what it says in the New King James. It says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." But the NIV puts it this way. It says, "Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Stick with it. Don't be so flighty. Be stable. The spiritually mature are not easily swayed or dragged into controversy. This is what I'm calling being stable. You know, it's very easy. Something seems somewhat controversial for everybody to jump on that bandwagon. Spiritually mature people don't just do that. They're not easily brought into those controversies. They're not easily going to be upset by what a lot of other people are upset by. They're not easily going to turn course over one little or two or even three little things that may take place. They're going to stay the course. Why? Because they're confident in who they are. They're confident in what God has called them and directed them to do and to be, and they're going to stay on that course. You'll have a hard time moving them. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If somebody is changing their mind every other day, every other week, even every other month about critical issues in their life and their spiritual walk, they have not yet matured to the level that they need to. And don't confuse spiritual rigor mortis with spiritual maturity. I'm talking about how they're stable. Well, there are some Christians who have been so stable for so long you'd hardly ever see them move. They're not open to new things. They're not ready to take on new challenges or new adventures in God. You know, believers, they'll do exploits. Amen? So, you know, if you see a person who is just stable but inactive, that's different than what I'm talking about here. All right. Last one. Spiritually mature people talk and walk in faith. They walk and they talk their faith. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, of course, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Spiritually mature people approach life's problems from a spiritual and faith perspective. And I want you to think again about yourself in this situation. When you encounter a difficult time, what's your first reaction? Do you approach it from a faith standpoint? Do you approach it in a spiritual way, or do you just kind of get all flustered? Do you just kind of get all worked up and you start trying to figure out, how am I going to take care of this? And, you know, that's one of my problems, is that oftentimes I want to fix a problem, and when a problem arises, I automatically start thinking my way through, okay, so we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to change that, we're going to have to overcome this, and then we're going to, and this on plan 6 of 12 here that I start laying out of all that I'm going to do to get this corrected. And see, I don't sometimes take a moment to say, okay, God, I'm just going to rest in you. Yes, this is a problem, and I'm going to do what I can, but I'm not going to get all stressed out about it, and I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to begin allowing you to work through this situation. Spiritually mature people, they're always talking faith. To the annoyance of others many times. You know, where everything they say just is faith-oriented. It's like, oh, come on, for Pete's sake. But you know, and I'm not talking about those that just throw out, you know, platitudes, just, you know, little sayings that you get for the refrigerator magnet things. Not just that. I'm not, you know, there's an immaturity in some of that. But I'm talking about when they talk about life and they talk about their life and they talk about your life, they're talking in faith terms. They're talking in faith terms. Their problems are never bigger than their God or his ability to deliver them. The immature talk a big talk. Oh, they talk a big talk, but when a real challenge comes along, they fall apart like a $2 suitcase. They just don't hold up. We need to be mature enough that we think in terms of faith and God's answers. No matter what the circumstances, the spiritually mature are optimistic about their future. They are optimistic about their future. Why? Because they know God. They have come to a level of understanding that even though things may look bleak on some aspect of their lives, they know God's going to get me through this. God is the one who holds it all in his hand. And if I start taking it back into mine, it gets a lot shakier. They trust God. Not only do they know the word, they believe it. They live it. They talk it. Now, you've been thinking over these last 10 items. I'm going to go through the list again. So, turning from sin was one. Setting aside the past was two. Faithful to spiritual disciplines was three. Giving was four. Remaining teachable was five. Having an understanding of grace and extending that grace to others was six. Holding spiritual authority in high regard was seven. Being a servant, eight. Being stable was number nine, and number 10, walking and talking faith. So, when you consider those 10 items, how are you feeling about yourself? Again, we're not here to be condemning ourselves, but recognizing where we have room for growth. I don't know about you, but I know there's at least half of those that I'd have to say, I still got a lot of work to do on those. And at least a little bit of work to do on all the others. Amen? Because, you know, like you, I have not yet attained to the level of Christ in my life. I'm still working on that. But it's good to start to recognize where the work needs to be. What things do I need to start considering? You know, do I need more time in the Word? Do I need to discipline myself a little bit more about that? Do I need to put aside, you know, some things for the better? I suspect if we examine ourselves along these 10 points, we're all going to recognize areas that we need to do some growing in. Until you reach the fullness of the measure of Christ, right? We all have more growing to do. Now, if out of that list of 10, you don't recognize really any area, well, then you're still pretty immature. I'm sorry. No other answer for that. If you're not seeing anything out of that list of 10, well, let me tell you, you got a lot of growing up to do. We'll finish off with 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I didn't get you out of here before 8. Rats. 1 Corinthians 13:11. It simply says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's put away the childish things. Let's grow up. Let's be mature Christians. Amen? Amen. Thank you.